All right. Right, up a volume, so that's good. Welcome to Free Association. Just a relatively quick clip show because I haven't done one since Monday. And the World Cup starts tomorrow. The Soccer World Cup starts in Qatar tomorrow. And I've been debating whether to do shows based around the World Cup. I may use some World Cup content for whatever reason in Technocratic Tyranny Blues because I've got it's a daily show. So welcome to the room, Susan. Welcome. I'm just talking to myself, but you're welcome to hang around. I'll be playing some clips at some point. The show's going to be about half an hour, maybe 30 minutes long once I get worked out what I want to do. You're welcome to hang around or make some suggestions. It's kind of news clips. And I'm looking for some material on the World Cup as well. So I'm open to suggestions. I might ignore your suggestions, but I'm open to them. Radio Knights, welcome to the room. All right, this was obviously a good time to do a show then. I have an audience already. I don't normally have an audience this early on in a show. So if you want to jump on and have a conversation, you're welcome to do that as well. I'm open at this particular point. So news, chat and music. The music show's later on, really. But I'm open to news and chat at this particular point. For anybody who wants to jump on, it's all good. So let's have a look. I found one clip so far.
As I've said before, I have really very little interest in football. But the World Cup seems to touch on so many other issues that I think it's important to look at it. So the World Cup in Qatar, a country which discriminates against gay people, against the LGBTQ plus community, a country which, of course, doesn't approve of alcohol being sold, though I happen to know it is sold and exchanged privately. But now we learn that FIFA, who controls the World Cup and is sponsored by Budweiser, I think, has decided there will be no alcohol in the stadium. Their decision. And just before the games itself. So this sets out a very new way of conducting a football game, a dry football game. Bud Zero will be sold, so people don't need to be thirsty, but it will be alcohol-free. This might, of course, be a way to test and potentially monitor and then possibly even roll out the idea of alcohol-free games in the future. I don't quite understand why alcohol is connected to sport. It seems rather absurd. Sport is all about fitness and about health. Alcohol is all about disease and inebriation. So there shouldn't be a link between the two. Maybe this is an opportunity to break that link, but I also find the timing of that breaking to be essentially deceitful and imposing a dry games on people who have otherwise paid out a great deal of money to attend the event and were expecting to be rolling in the aisles. Well, they're going to have to find some other entertainment that isn't produced in a bottle, I suppose.
It's also a very clever way of marketing Bud Zero to the Arab nations. So you're opening up a market that doesn't drink alcohol to a product that doesn't have alcohol in it, and therefore making a potentially large profit in the process. Very clever, very cleverly done. But it is very clever, very cleverly done. And now they've got a conversation going on about the fact that the World Cup is alcohol-free, which advertises Bud Zero in the process. Right, I've got another clip here that I'll see what this is. It's another
World Cup. The World Cup in Qatar has already failed. That might seem like a bit of an odd statement to make. After all, we normally reflect upon the legacy of a World Cup and its successes and failures from the host perspective after the tournament is finished, and sometimes years after it is finished, not weeks before it has even begun. But then again, this is no ordinary World Cup. Contrary to popular opinion, countries that host the World Cup don't actually make money. Certainly not as a direct result of hosting the tournament, but not even after taking every tangible external long-term factor into account. Hosting the World Cup is very expensive. South Africa spent $3.6 billion in 2010, Brazil spent $11.6 billion in 2014, and Russia spent a record-breaking $14.2 billion in the most expensive World Cup to date in 2018. None of those countries recouped that investment or even came remotely close. And that is unsurprising given that FIFA retains all ticket, merchandise, goods, media and television rights for the World Cup, so host nations receive none of that revenue. And not just that, FIFA also insists, as part of the World Cup bidding process, that all of the proceeds that they generate through the sales of tickets, merchandise, television rights and everything else remain entirely tax-free, meaning that the host nation not only doesn't get a share of that revenue, they don't even collect any tax receipts. No wonder FIFA wants a World Cup every 2 years. The World Cup in Qatar is estimated to have cost the hosts around $220 billion for all stadium, transport and related infrastructure projects, so this World Cup was always going to lose money and a heck of a lot of it. But that was never the metric by which the success or failure of this tournament would be measured. Success for Qatar at this World Cup would be laundering the state and its regime's reputation, increasing foreign investment into the country, creating an image in people's minds of Qatar as being a modern, forward-thinking country, and raising the nation's profile as a desirable tourist destination long-term. It is all part of Qatar's aim, like so many of its neighbouring countries, to diversify their economies away from oil long-term, legitimise their undemocratic, authoritarian, and often tyrannical regimes, and to extend their soft power and solidify their power base, particularly within the region. It's not dissimilar to Russia's motives for hosting the World Cup 4 years ago, just on steroids. But whilst Russia was very successful in achieving those aims at the World Cup, there is good reason to believe that Qatar has already failed, and all that remains to be seen is the extent to which this World Cup is an unmitigated disaster. It is not unusual for World Cups to be controversial. Japan and South Korea were considered to be contentious hosts in 2002 because the time difference meant that games would be played in the morning for European fans, disrupting the working day of FIFA's most profitable viewers. Germany's winning bid in 2006 was so controversial that it forced FIFA to change the way in which the bidding process worked, as Germany beat South Africa by 12 votes to 11 in the final round, after New Zealand FIFA executive member Charlie Dempsey abstained at the last minute, despite having been instructed by the Oceania Football Confederation to vote for South Africa, which would have tied the votes at 12-all. Dempsey said that he abstained because of intolerable pressure from both the German and South African bidding teams and attempted bribes. Stepping down months after the vote, meanwhile, three German officials and one FIFA official were later charged with fraud for their roles in the bidding process. Thankfully, because of the changes in practice that were implemented by FIFA because of that scandal, in the 16 years since, there haven't been any controversial World Cup hosts. Nah, I'm just kidding. FIFA executive Chuck Blazer admitted that he and others on the FIFA executive committee had accepted bribes in relation to South Africa's successful bid to host the 2010 World Cup, in 2004, and there were even reports that Morocco had actually received more bids than South Africa, but that South Africa had still been chosen as host regardless. Meanwhile, the host nation themselves were accused of displacing people, mostly impoverished and homeless people or refugees, to make space for fan parks, infrastructure projects, and to try and reduce crime. The 2014 World Cup in Brazil was so controversial that it prompted mass protests across the country in 2013 and 2014, before the tournament had even begun, with riots and civil unrest in several Brazilian cities. The controversy revolved largely around the amount of public spending and national debt that the government was spending on the tournament, which many felt would have been better spent elsewhere, in a country where poverty remains rife. The Wikipedia article entitled List of 2014 FIFA World Cup Controversies is a fairly lengthy read, and it includes subheadings such as protests, monorail collapse, and bridge collapse. Yeah, that is rarely a good sign. I don't think I need to get into the controversy surrounding the 2018 World Cup in Russia. That would constitute an entire video in of itself. The point being here, there has never been a squeaky clean FIFA World Cup. Whether it is the bidding process, the safety of workers, or the actual practicalities of the tournament itself, there are always issues. The difference with the 2022 World Cup is that there are only issues, scandals, and controversy, and virtually no benefits. The kickoff time...
Alright, so I'm going to leave that there, keep this one short, and I'll see you a bit later on for the live show, the live music show.